Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up, never shut up, never shut up, never shut up.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. I'm your host, Rose Cress, and today we've pulled angels. How was your eclipse? Did you get to see, like, the full totality? Were you one of the lucky folks? Were there clouds? I'm recording this before Tuesday, so I can't tell you yet whether or not I got to see any of it. But hopefully. I don't know. It's Oregon. Lots of things happen behind the clouds in Oregon. That said, how's your Mercury retrograde going? We're entering week 2 of the retrograde. And remember, it can be a little intense because it's, you know, in Aries, and that energy is just fiery by nature. Well, as a Capricorn, I would tell you that Aries are argumentative by nature for the most part. But I mean, Capricorns like to be right, so I don't know. Can you trust my opinion on that? I mean, because that really is my opinion formed on experience, I guess. Anyway, so this brings us to Angels, which is from the 2003, a collection, Tales from a Librarian. She had 2 new songs on that, and Angels was one of them. Before we get into lyrics and the message of the song, Tori talks about this song. She wrote it, she said, in 2003 when she was on tour doing the Scarlet's Walk tour, and she really talks about it being her take on this time and really politically what's going on. I mean, she's upset about the U.S. being in a war with Iraq, and, you know, I think, you know, she mentions at one point, like, we're still in this war, which, I mean, she's doing interviews in, like, September and October and November, and she's talking about the Iraq war, and, you know, she talks about the protests. For example, she says the people that went out along with this were not horrible, at least most of them weren't. They were just frozen. They'd forgotten that they had the power to stand up. There were protests, but you didn't see how many people were out there. They made sure that was kept from the public. And that was in January 2004. So she's kind of like, oh, we need to get out of this. And the Iraq war started in March 20, 2003, while she was out on the road promoting Scarlet's Walk. And for those of you that don't remember, I did look it up because I was like, wait, how long, you know, were we quote-unquote in the war? December 15th of 2011. But then, you know, we weren't fully out. And oh my gosh, it's crazy. It's crazy to think about how long that went on and how we were upset about it. And then we just became complacent about it. So there's a lot of deception behind the writing of this song, and not deception on Tori's part, but the look of deception about it. And, you know, that there was deception because this was, again, here we were in yet another war with Iraq, and I was in junior high during the first Iraq war, and to be honest with you, that's when I stopped saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I was so upset about it, and our history teacher, Mr. Garibaldi, took us into, you know, like, he was like, okay, let's look at the history of the Middle East. And so we did, like, this whole Middle East kind of project, and each of us had to, like, do reports on and presentations on the different countries in the Middle East and really looking at it. And I mean, like, he even pulled up, like, you know, troop patterns and stuff. He was like, really, I was lucky. He was really educating us about that war. And there I am, I'm 13, 14, learning about a military incursion, and you're watching it happen and knowing as you're watching it happen that it's wrong. And there we were again in 2003, watching this military invasion, knowing it was wrong. And we knew it was wrong after the fact. So there's a lot, I mean, the song is about deception, about pulling the wools over people's eyes, which you'll see in a moment when we do lyrics. The other thing that she mentioned, and I thought it was kind of interesting to go back and read what she was saying about it. You know, she talks about the Iraq war, but she's also talking about, you know, she says, I guess you could say that the angels represent the missing votes during the last presidential election. And those of you that were not around during that time, this was Gore and Bush. And, well, I mean, they cheated. Bush cheated. on the election. You know, in Florida, they quote unquote lost votes and they did stuff. And, you know, and Gore essentially, he didn't push the issue. And so we ended up with George W. Bush in office and with all of the stuff that was going on. So, you know, this whole vote thing has been an issue for a long time. And I'm not going to say who, but there's a certain amount of cheating that's just gone on. I'm not going to name any names. But I think you know what I'm talking about. So what's Tori lyrically saying in this song, which she starts out with? And with a wink and a smile, you toss your instructions on how to catch a train while it's moving, which is kind of this sense of, I got this. Like, I don't really need to follow the instructions. I've got this. You always were the one that kept us all guessing how you could survive the fall you had. So who's she talking about here in particular? I don't know who she's talking about, but part of this is, you know, this energy of flying by the seat of your pants. But again, there's that deception woven into it. You always kept us guessing. Are you that person, or are you interacting with that person? From medicine men to my DJ friends, they all have said, quote, he's got to watch his back. And she mentions this about the people who are really not paying attention in politics, that either they're making decisions and they're not aware of what they're doing, or they're pulling, you know, the wool has been pulled over their eyes, they've got their rose-colored glasses on and they don't want to pay attention, or the person that's actually deceiving. I mean, and it's so interesting, really, to see, like, in hindsight, I mean, we knew that we were being deceived. We knew there were no weapons of mass destruction. I mean, it was obvious there were no weapons of mass destruction, and yet that was the lie that was used to goad Congress into voting, into, like, yes, let's do this. But, I mean, I remember back then knowing, like, no, there are no weapons of mass destruction. There were all kinds of reports from different countries saying, nope, that's not there, and yet our own government was like, yeah. And they had images, and those images were doctored and old photos back before there was even AI. So think about, just for a moment, how dangerous that was. And now where we are, where technology is even more advanced. And, you know, what's the truth, right? There's that meme, we just, you know, April 1st happened, obviously. And there's that meme that it's the one day of the year where everybody critically evaluates what they see on the internet. And then we don't critically evaluate, you know, so that critical evaluation of what we're seeing is important, not just with the stuff we see online, but with the stuff we're seeing from our friends, with the communications from people. I mean, if your intuition is telling you something is off, then it warrants further investigation. Let's look into things a little bit more. So here she goes on and she says, they're trapping angels by the Potomac, but it's not how you'd think. You'd be surprised. So, oh, like, they're trapping angels. Are they trapping angels and, like, bringing these people in? She says, they liberate your dreamscape. They liberate your dreamscape till you can't remember to recall where your wings, your wangs, have gone. Tell me where they've gone. So they're, you know, they liberate your dreamscape. That's basically, for me, this felt like how capitalism is, you know, just in this decline, and your visions of what you want for your future, these really high hopes that we build, that we just become so distracted by things that we can no longer see, like, what we wanted to do. We become, I mean, even more so, I think it's more apparent today that we get stuck in these moments of not knowing where we're going, or being so clouded by things. I mean, I've long said that watching commercials makes you want things. So targeted ads keeps you in that space of buying stuff. And I mean, I think about it, like, on TikTok, I did buy a thing recently, like the neck massager thing on TikTok. Now, I would have paid like 3 times as much as what I paid. Having had that experience, was that something I absolutely needed? Oh my God, yes. It has made such a difference for me because I've got just stuff going on with my neck. But in any case, I look at something like that, and yes, I did need something like that. But do I need the bag? The special bag that's in my cart right now? No, I don't need that. I have a purse. Like, why? I'm always looking for the perfect travel bag. Stop it. I have plenty. I have plenty. So these, but it's such a good advertisement. Look at how much stuff it fits. Look at that new phone. Look at all of that stuff. And like, I don't have a problem with like food cravings, and I mean, I'll eat unhealthy stuff because I put off eating sometimes, or I get distracted. I just like need fuel, and I'm like, oh, I need quick calories because I exercise too much, or oh man, I didn't go to the grocery store, so there's like nothing really healthy in the refrigerator to eat. So I make my bad food decisions that way. But like 10 years ago, when I was seeing a lot more commercials on television, I made a lot worse food decisions. And I think it's really interesting how seeing, you know, food on television changes how you eat. I mean, if you're watching TikTok videos about preparing vegetables, you're like, oh my gosh, that sounds really good. Or, oh, I want to make that. So the things that we see, the things that we input really changes what we think. And that then led me, I was thinking about how all of our past experiences build up to create our current perception. It's something I think about a lot, because can we change that? Like, how do I change my current perception, which I know is based on my past experiences? And then I thought, well, oh my gosh, it's like our own little algorithm. That, you know, you see an algorithm on social media, that algorithm is based on your past experiences, your past interactions with information on that said social media. And so that informs your present experience on social media. The people that you see on social media are the people that you have interacted with in the past and their interactions. Very few stuff is new. It's like, you know, when you're on Spotify, that Spotify algorithm, like, it's constantly pulling up songs that I've played before for work. I don't want to listen to that. That's work music for a different population, because I just use the same Spotify. I personally want to hear things that are new. I want to hear different things. That's my musical taste. I want to be exposed to new and beautiful pieces of music. Am I looking for the next biggest, greatest thing in my life musically? Maybe. But I do want to hear something I haven't heard before. I like that. If I wanted to hear something I've heard before, I would pull that up and listen to that. And I do. So our personal algorithm, our brain patterning, our past experiences, they kind of build how we perceive things in the present moment. And who's dictating our past experiences? I mean, our past was dictated for a certain period of time by our caregivers. And then the way our caregivers dictated our experience actually sets up now how we dictate our own experience, unless we do the work to start deconstructing that. And we only do that work when we're suffering from it. So that's what the process of therapy is about, is deconstructing patterns with somebody who doesn't know you. Because someone who doesn't know you begins to see your patterns. They're trained to see your patterns. I mean, some of them are really good. And, you know, just like everybody, some people are not good and some people are not for you. It's just not your person, and you can switch to another one. But they're trained to help see your patterns and will be like, wait a second, what about this? Have you looked at it from this perspective or looked at it this way? So these things are so important. And one thing I love about Efren and his sharing is about, you know, that Efren's going through therapy as he's taking this break, and he shared that on the podcast, and I love that he shares that. Let's normalize that. Let's normalize starting looking at different things. Let's normalize reclaiming our dreamscapes. We've been liberated. Like, somebody else has decided that they need to liberate us from our dreamscapes. Somebody else has decided what we need to be working for, what we need to be focused on, rather than us holding true to the things that we want to work on. One of the things that I keep getting shown on social media is like the little girl, it's the meme, it's the little girl, and she says, I want to be an astronaut. And the mom is like, well, you have to get good grades, you have to go to school, and you have to do this. And the little girl's like, well, that's only three things. That's easy. It's only three things. And then there's a comment underneath about a teacher like sharing that in the class, and the students, when, you know, when they now encounter an issue, they're like, well, that's only four things. Four things is easy, right? So that kind of optimism, the hope of that little girl who's like, yeah, this is what I want to do. But then there's this messaging that this little girl's going to encounter about, you know, I mean, we're now messaging more about how important STEM is, you know, the science education, science technology education is for women, certainly, but little girls, because, you know, we haven't had that. I mean, you know, math is for boys. Like, I remember being in elementary school. I'm good at math. I like math. I'm good at science. I like science. I'm raised by scientists, scientifically minded. My brain is highly analytical and philosophical, so I really enjoy those things. And no teacher ever really stepped up to kind of push me, in math, certainly. My geometry teacher, he tried, and I just couldn't grasp it. And I really appreciated him as a teacher, because he saw I was actually working hard and that I studied and I really struggled with the class. And I think he gave me a pity C. I might have actually deserved a D, but I was working hard. That was really frustrating. That was like that class and chemistry class. Those were the two classes I worked hard in and didn't do well in. And, you know, geometry is the first time in my life where something didn't click. And that was really hard. And I had to take the class. Like, I couldn't just opt out of it. I had to take it. But no teacher other than my, the sister who taught biology, my junior high biology, boy, she was so into it. And if she saw me grasping stuff, she pushed me and she paid special attention to me because she was like, oh, you're actually into this and you're good at this and you like this. And I really appreciated that. So I can understand that sense of like, no, this is what you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to go for. And, you know, let me liberate you from this dream that you've had that's shutting you down. You don't need those wings, because this is what's going to work best for you. This is the path that you need, rather than, you know, for example, the path that I'm on, which is by no means easy. You know, I mean, there's been a lot of struggle. Could I be working in an office? Could I be working, you know, doing accounting? Totally. Right? There's all these things that I could be doing. And I know at least one of my family members has made it very clear that, you know, my life didn't go the way it was supposed to go. And I could have been so much better. Honestly, I think it's projection from that family member, because they're in whatever their situation is. But I know, you know, my trajectory, I was going to go to college to become a marine biologist. That's what I was going to do. I love marine biology still. See, it's science education, but this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I feel that so clearly. And I fought really hard to be doing the work that I'm doing in the world. So we've been liberated from our dreamscapes. How do we get our wings back? How do we come back to that? What's the practice that supports us with that? And I thought and thought and thought and meditated and meditated and meditated and listened and listened and listened. And was it about strength? Was it about this? No, what it all came down to for me energetically was that seeing clearly and trusting intuition, trusting insight and inner knowing, the stillness of focus of the mind. This is all that sixth chakra energy, the dissolution of the veil of lies, or what we call avidya, the not seeing the oneness of nature, the not seeing the truth. And, you know, let's keep it a little more on, whatever. I'm going to keep it where it is. I'm not going to go into the whole avidya and what that truth is. Another discussion for another time. But that focus on peeling away the veil. What's really going on here? Like, what's really going on here? You know, as they say, follow the money. Why are people engaged in certain actions? Why is that person who's, you know, working against you or not following through on something, not approving your day off, as I saw somebody saying online the other day, what's really going on there? How can we pierce that veil of ignorance. And the veil of ignorance, I mean, that veil of ignorance covers our patterning. It covers how our past experiences come together to form literally our perception. Literally the direction you're looking at is formed by the network of your past experiences. So can you look in a different direction at something right now? Are you able to even hear that information? That's the interesting part. So this is all that Ajna chakra, which I think the other interesting thing about that is it's pictured as like a circle with two petals on either side, and those petals could look like wings. So she could very easily be saying, you know, where has that insight, that intuition, that inner knowing, where has that gone? Where has your clarity of vision gone? So if we want to stimulate this, this is the brow point. So it's between the eyebrows, but slightly above third eye. And you can do something very simple here. You can take a fingertip and lightly tap. How hard are you tapping? Like not even hard enough to depress a key on a keyboard. It's just a very light tap. You know, you're not making an indentation even necessarily on your flesh, and you're breathing. You can also, I mean, that's a really good one, you know, like if you're listening to this while you're driving, you can just stimulate that area. You could also take two fingers and just circle them over that area, a very light circle, the kind of circle that would like disturb the hairs on your skin, but not be a massage of the skin or the muscle underneath it. So this invitation to awaken clarity of vision, of insight, inner vision and outer vision. And then if you really want to strengthen that sight, you can add the sound of Om, the long piercing sound of Om. Like we're literally using sound to break through that veil of illusion. Three ohms, but you could keep going. You could do six, you could do nine, you could do 12. This might be really good practice to do before you have a meeting. I mean, this is Mercury retrograde season when our vision, quote unquote vision, can get cloudy. The way we see things can get a little cloudy because you know, things are just amiss in the world. Things have been restructured a little bit, so we might not see things as clearly as we need to see them. So you have a meeting coming up, you have an important discussion coming up, you're doing your taxes. I should have saved my taxes. Like, I should have done them in March, I should have done them before Mercury retrograde, but, you know, whatever. This is how it works sometimes. Give me a break. Hopefully I don't make any mistakes on my taxes. Anyway, I'm wishing you clarity of vision and insight and the ability to pierce through those patterns of and networks of the way that you see things to see something new about yourself, about the relationships that you're in, to free yourself up from some of your suffering that is literally caused by your past experiences just coming together to formulate this present moment. And I hope you join me tomorrow. Make sure you follow us on the socials, Songs of Tori Amos on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, Rose Cress on Instagram and Facebook. I'd love to hear your thoughts about angels. So, you know, you can comment on our posts about the podcasts. You can head over to the website, songsoftoriamos.com, and where you can listen, but also you can comment on the podcast there. Anyway, much love to you. Thank you. See you tomorrow. Bye.
could survive before you had. From being a disillusion to my ditcher friends, who said he's got to watch his bird. The trap in ranging years, a whoop to me.
Never Shut Up is a production of the Sideways Society. For more information and links to things mentioned on the show, please visit us online at songsoftoriamus.com.
Yes, I know what you think of me. You never shut up.